जी आर टॉकिंग ऑन म्यूट माता जी.
ओके. हरे कृष्णा डिवोटीज, वेलकम टू भक्ति संघा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल. टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू हैव मेमोरीज ऑफ हिज होलीनेस भक्ति चारु स्वामी महाराज. सो आई रिक्वेस्ट द डिसाइपल्स ऑफ भक्ति चारु स्वामी महाराज टू कम फॉरवर्ड एंड share some memories with us. So I request His Grace Aditya Narayan Prabhuji to share some memories with us, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna to all the devotees. Please accept our most humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share glories of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Let's start with the pranam mantra, since I'm the first person starting. So I start with pranam mantras, and then I want to read one paragraph. And it's always good to start with some breathing from Ocean of Mercy, and then I'll share a few memories. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति चारु स्वामी इति नामिने स्निग्ध चेता सुप्रनेता वाग्मिनां च रसप्रतम प्रभुपादगत प्राण नौमि भक्ति चरुपदम नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशकारिणी भक्ति चरु स्वामी महाराज की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. So as I mentioned, since I'm the first one here reading, starting, so I would read one paragraph from this book, Ocean of Mercy. So I'll just read the paragraph and I'll explain a little bit on that one. Another day, I went to Prabhupada with a stack of letters when he was on the roof receiving his morning massage. I read out each letter and took notes on how to reply. Then I remained while his personal servant, Hari Sori Das, gave him massage. I wanted to be near Prabhupada as long as I could. Seeing that I was not leaving, Srila Prabhupada spoke to me. In quotes, just offer this life to Krishna. For many, many lifetimes you have been trying to enjoy, but you can see that you are still not satisfied. Just offer this life to Krishna and don't get involved with any woman. And then Prabhupada goes further and he explains, well, there is one towards the end of this conversation. Srila Prabhupada spoke for quite a while, urging me to surrender to Krishna. Finally, he told me, just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. Even if nothing happens, what is the loss? After all, it is just one life out of so many. In my mind, I vowed, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I am offering myself to you. I know that if I do that, I will achieve the ultimate perfection of my existence. So this is one of the conversations that Maharaj repeatedly has, you know, frequently has mentioned in his classes, that how Prabhupada requested him, just offer this one life to Krishna. And we see, like, just see, you know, over the last week, hearing the glorifications from so many different devotees, glorifying His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, we see that how Maharaj completely gave his life in the service of Srila Prabhupada, completely gave his life in the service of Krishna. So such a glorious life and such a glorious departure. Right? So I'll speak a little bit on my memories since we don't have too much time. So I have been meditating, like hearing all the glorifications, I've been meditating on this point that, you know what, like how Maharaj has actually touched the hearts of thousands and thousands of people all over the world. Some of them have more intimate association with Maharaj, some of them not so much. But even if a person met Maharaj just for once, Maharaj has successfully touched their heart, you know. And I was meditating, what is the glory of Maharaj that he is able to touch the hearts of thousands and thousands of people? Certainly his classes are just amazing. Like, you know, you talk about his Srimad Bhagavatam classes, or, you know, Maharaj has given so many different seminars, and one particular seminar, like Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. That's like one of my favorites. And when Maharaj is speaking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, you can just see, like, you know, we had the fortune of sitting in the entire seminar. You can see that Maharaj is speaking as if he's right there in Vrindavan, and just while narrating the pastime, you can see the bliss that he's experiencing. Because so sweet pastimes of Vrindavan. And so whether it's like sharing Srimad Bhagavatam classes, or Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, or speaking about the life of the previous acharyas, Maharaj has such in-depth knowledge of the previous acharyas. I remember here, he came to our temple, like, I think this was just a couple of years back, and he gave the morning Bhagavatam class, and it was, disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he gave the morning Bhagavatam class on the disappearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that class was one of the most profound classes I have ever heard on the glories of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So even acharyas, like, such in-depth knowledge. And then also to students, like if you actually see Maharaj classes that he has given to preaching to students, it's like so scientific, you know, like it's amazing the depth of knowledge that Maharaj has, you know, not only in our shastras, but also in the outside world. Like, I remember, like, he spent quite some time in North Carolina. Like, once he was here for like 2 years, you know, in a stretch when he had a project here, and then he's frequently come here. And I remember that when we actually go to, you know, like maybe some walks in the, like, a park here or anywhere outside, when we go for walks, Maharaj will actually point out to a plant or a tree, and he'll say, "Oh, do you know what is this?" And he'll say exactly like the name, the scientific name of the tree, and he'll say something about the tree. It's amazing, like how Maharaj knows so much, not only about the shastras, but also the entire world. And that's why when he preaches to students, so he gives like such clear scientific explanations of our philosophy. So certainly his classes are just like so wonderful. And then in his classes, like, you know, you hear a few of his classes and you can see how his depth of love for Srila Prabhupada. Like, anyone who hears a few of his classes, naturally you get an appreciation for the glories of Srila Prabhupada. And that is actually Maharaj's mood and mission. He wanted to always bring Srila Prabhupada in the forefront. And he has actually, you know, there's also different committees that he has headed, establishing or re-establishing Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya of ISKCON and the preeminent Shiksha Guru for everyone in ISKCON. Maharaj repeatedly stressed the importance of this point. You know, that for the continuation of ISKCON, for the growth of ISKCON, it is important that each one of us realize the unique position of Srila Prabhupada and establish our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And also Maharaj like repeatedly pointed out that our loyalty to Srila Prabhupada is our loyalty to ISKCON, our service to ISKCON. And he said that ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's body. There is no difference between ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada. Our loyalty to Srila Prabhupada will be shown by how we actually serve in ISKCON society. Hence, 3 points actually he repeatedly said. And he said, like, you know, during the last year when Maharaj was actually almost 24/7 with Srila Prabhupada, he actually said within the last year, these 3 points I have heard repeatedly, and I understand this as the Prabhupada, like how he really stressed on these 3 points. First, Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya of ISKCON and the preeminent Shiksha Guru for everyone in ISKCON. The second point is he actually established how GBC is the ultimate managing authority. And the third point he actually stressed on is how Prabhupada said in his final days that your love for me will be shown by how you work in the mood of cooperation within this institution of ISKCON. And hence, like, if you have attended any of his initiation ceremonies, along with the 4 vows, he asks us to take a vow, never leave ISKCON society. You know? So wonderful. His classes are just, you know, so that was the whole thing about his classes. His classes are just so wonderful, so deep. And then I think everyone, like, you know, within ISKCON, outside ISKCON, so many people have heard Maharaj's bhajans. And just by hearing Maharaj's sweet, middle, like devotional bhajans, it just like melts the heart of anyone. So certainly his classes, his bhajans. But I was thinking further, going further, in addition to these 2 points, what is it that has really touched? What is it that really has touched the heart of thousands and thousands of people around the world? It is actually Maharaj's mood of love, mood of kindness, mood of, you know, his loving exchanges with everyone. He's like the personification of love, personification of care, personification of kindness. And in that mood of love, care, and kindness, he's actually like, even a person goes for the first time or someone is a new bhakta, he treats him with so much love, so much attention, and gives himself completely to that person that you just get sold out to Maharaj. And this one quality of Maharaj, and you know, I'm sure all of you have heard, like in the glorifications, that everyone has actually pointed out this particular point. Then Maharaj, how he's the personification of Vaishnava etiquette. He's the personification of love and care. You know? So I actually personally, this was even before my initiation when I went to Mayapur, I think 2005. You know, I was just like a new bhakta. And then I went there and like I had met Maharaj before, like few times, but it wasn't so close dealings. But when I went to Mayapur, he actually took so good care of me. He actually allowed me to stay in the servant quarters. And once I was there, once I met Maharaj, it was like I didn't have to worry about anything. Maharaj used to like repeatedly ask, so how is your accommodation? How is your prasadam? How are you, nourishing your spiritual life in Mayapur? Repeatedly, like, and if you know Maharaj in Mayapur, he has like hundreds of disciples, you know, so many different projects. But I, as just like a, you know, like a new devotee there, you know, not even initiated, he took so personal care. And by that trip, you know, that I think 2 weeks I was there in Mayapur, just along with him, like, you know, walking wherever he used to go, I was like, this is it. I am sold out to Maharaj. You know, I'm sold out to Maharaj. So this quality, I was thinking, like, this is a quality that has touched the hearts of thousands and thousands of people all around the world. I also, I had this whole experience, like, I'd gone to Ujjain to stay with Maharaj for, I think, around six weeks. And I had the fortune of traveling with Maharaj to Kumbh Mela. and this was like 2009, and that was like one of my most memorable experiences with Maharaj. And there's so many memories to share from that entire trip. We don't have too much time, but I'll just mention like few of those. Like, you know, we were in Ujjain, and then from Ujjain we actually went to Indore to catch the flight. But you know, like, even if you see Maharaj's schedule, maybe Ratna Radhika can talk more, she was a secretary for a long time, he's always like, he doesn't waste even one moment. So we had to catch a flight, but Maharaj said, plan the flight in such a way. So Ujjain to Indore is like 40 minutes drive, 40, 45 minutes drive by car. So he said, from Indore we had a flight. So he said, plan the flight in Indore in such a way, from Indore in such a way that we can go and talk to the students from the Indore universities, because Indore, they have like few base there, right? So he planned it in such a way that we had a flight booked so that Maharaj could actually go to Indore. And then we went to Indore, and Maharaj spent so much time with each and every one of students. And just like seeing his attention, his care for every student, taking time to answer each one of the students' questions, it just like touches the heart of anyone. I was there and I was listening and I was seeing how Maharaj was dealing with every student. And it was almost time for a flight, you know, and there were like few more questions. And Maharaj said, you go, I will come at the last minute. Until the last minute, he was actually preaching to the students. And I was seeing the mood of the students. The students, like all the students there, they were just like ready to just like join the ashram. They said like, you know, we are just sold out to Maharaj. We are ready to join the ashram. But Maharaj was like, no, finish your education. You can work for a year and then you can join the ashram. You know, so his mood of care, compassion is just like, you know, anyone's heart would actually melt in that moment. Right? And I'll mention one last point. So the Kumbh Mela experience was a whole thing. We had a, you know, really a very, very blissful time in Kumbh Mela. And then after Kumbh Mela, we went to Delhi. And Delhi, there was the RGB meetings at that time. You know, so we have GBC meetings, and then you have regional GBC meetings. So RGB meetings. And at that time, you know, and I'll conclude with this point. At that time, Maharaj actually, so we had meetings for a few days, you know, Maharaj was whole day in the meetings. And then the third or fourth day after the meetings, Maharaj was feeling like pain in his left side of his chest, you know. And then everyone was concerned, and then everyone, because, you know, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, because of the RGB meetings, all so many senior devotees, sannyasis were there. So they all said, Maharaj, please, you know, let's go to the doctor, get checked up. And then, you know, we drove Maharaj to the Delhi hospital. He got angiogram, like he got all the testing and everything. But I remember one statement after the whole thing, he came out of the hospital after the test, and he actually made this statement. He said, I am just a driver to Srila Prabhupada. And if Srila Prabhupada wants to change the car, what is there in that? And he said it in such a way as if it was nothing. So basically he was referring that the body is Prabhupada's car, you know, and I as a soul, I'm just his driver. So if Prabhupada wants to change the car, basically he was talking of like, if Prabhupada wants to take me somewhere else, he just like so simply like just said like, oh, what is that? You know, I will go to another place and serve Prabhupada. And when I heard that, the way he said that, it just like struck onto me that how someone can be so attached to Srila Prabhupada and how someone can be so detached from anything in this material world. You know, for me, it was like a shock that I was like, oh, Maharaj, please, please don't leave. We need your association here for a very long time. But the way Maharaj struck, it was just like a point that hit onto me that this is the glories of Maharaj. He's so committed to Srila Prabhupada that he's willing to do anything in Srila Prabhupada's service. You know, and he just said like, oh, if Prabhupada wants me to change the car, I will change the car, referring to the body, you know. And yeah, so that was 2009, and then you know, 2020. So we certainly miss Maharaj and his wonderful, sweet association, and his commitment to Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON society. And it's really very painful to think about you know, that we will not have his Bapu association anymore. But thank you so much for the opportunity. And I pray to all the Vaishnavas here, that you kindly bless me, that I can somehow imbibe even a drop of his mood of commitment to ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada, a drop of his mood of love and care for everyone, you know, all the people. So thank you so much for the opportunity. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much, Aditya Narayan Prabhuji. That was so heart-touching. So I request Ratna Radhika Mataji, you can go ahead and share your realizations and memories. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to speak some glories about His Holiness Bhakti Chu Maharaj. So it's hard to know where to begin because the glories of Bhakti Chu Maharaj are like an ocean. So where to step into that ocean? But any part of it is always very sweet. So I'll just share a few of my memories and you know what, and the qualities of Guru Maharaj that really inspired me a lot. So by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, my parents are disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and they were living in Belgium. I was born in Belgium, Europe, and His Holiness Bhakti Chu Maharaj was the GBC for Belgium at that time. And so when I was very small, like 5 years old, 6 years old, me and my sister would see him from our window of our little apartment that we lived close to the temple. And so we would see him arriving at the temple. That's my first memory of Maharaj. And then in the late 90s, he came to North Carolina to set up his base there for his Abhaicharan and also the bar. He would he set up a bliss bar factory for devotees to have a business, devotee business. So that was in the late 90s, and I was around 15, 16 years old. So it was perfect timing in my life that he was there. He was practically there every day for Mangalarti, for the whole morning program, giving classes. He would stay for like months on end in North Carolina and give so much of his association. So I'm going to focus a few memories from Ujjain, because by his mercy, I was allowed to go to Ujjain and serve him there for 8 months. So that was in 2006, when I was around, you know, just after I graduated from my bachelor's degree. So I had just taken initiation, and he came to our house for lunch. And he said, "So what do you want to do now that you're done with your studies?" And I said, I would please instruct me, you know, whatever you would like me to do. I have this desire of going to India." And he said, "I thought so." And then he said, "Why don't you come to Ujjain?" And because he had just opened the temple in Ujjain in February. So this is in February 2006. And this time where he's talking to me is about May 2006. So he said, "Why don't you come to Ujjain?" And he said, "I was thinking what service you could do there. And I think, I was thinking maybe you could help with, you know, cultivating the ladies." And he was like thinking it, but then he said, "But then I thought maybe I'm going to be there for about five, six months. Maybe you could be my secretary." And I was like so shocked that he would even consider me to be that I was like, I said, I would be very honored for that. And he was like smiling. And then my mother said she was already in ecstasy when you gave her initiation. Now she's like not even standing on the floor anymore. She's so happy. So I was felt so touched that he gave me that incredibly sweet service for him, that I could come to Ujjain and serve him in that way. And I was thinking how Guru Maharaj always would engage people according to their propensities and always see how to engage how to engage people properly so they're well situated in ISKCON and that they can be encouraged and be happy in Krishna consciousness. And whenever people had kind of confusion about what I should do next in their life, like I experienced it myself, he would always guide in a very practical way, like maybe you can come here, or I'll make a phone call and maybe you could serve in this temple. He was very practical in that way. He really would give practical solutions and try to come up with ideas of how to engage the devotees. So I felt so honored that he invited me to Ujjain. So I went to Ujjain in September 2006. So it was shortly after the temple opened in February. And the temple is quite amazing, a temple. If anybody of you have been to Ujjain, it's a huge temple with so many projects that he set up there in Ujjain. And when I arrived there, the temple was, it was there. There were still a few construction things going on with the guest house, but mostly it was set up. And when I reached there, I met with other devotees and they were saying how Guru Maharaj, in 10 months, he built this temple. It's incredible. And once I was working in India as a secretary, I realized that things in India are not so easy to do in the same as they are in the West. Like anything that you want to do here in half an hour, it takes like a few days there because things don't work so smoothly in India. And I was thinking, how did Guru Maharaj build this temple in 10 months? And they were saying, actually up to the day that the installation was going to happen, that it was, some of the devotees are having doubts. How is it? He set a deadline for Nityananda's appearance day, February 2006. And how is it going to get done? Because there was still like piles of construction. The floor was not done. The ceiling was like, there's so many things that still, even up to the day before the installation. And, Guru Maharaj called an Ishtagoshti with the devotees. And he said, he encouraged all the devotees to work hard, and he made a bold proclamation. He said, he went through all the points of the construction, and he said, each time he would say, it will be done. Putting up the chandeliers, it will be done. Finishing the marble floor, it will be done. And he went on and on through all the things. And because when a pure devotee makes a statement, then Krishna, definitely has to fulfill it. So by that day, everything was completed. The temple was done. And even up to the last moment, Guru Maharaj was sweeping the floor, helping cleaning. And that's another beautiful thing about Guru Maharaj, is that he was so attentive to details. He didn't want to compromise in quality. He wanted to give the best possible offering to Srila Prabhupada and for Radha Madan Mohan. So every single aspect of that project and any project that he would take, he personally would manage and consider what would be the best possible way to do this. So the chandeliers, he researched what kind of chandeliers, the floor, he got the best possible flooring, and then the marble for the temple was the best marble that you could get. Every single detail, and then gold leafing the altars so beautifully. One time when I was there in Ujjain, there was a festival, Prabhupada Memorial Festival, and they had decorated the Vyasasana of Srila Prabhupada and put flower vases, and for me, I thought it was very beautiful. But when Guru Maharaj came down and he said, these are not very, it wasn't up to the standard. So he said, don't compromise in quality. What we're doing things we have to do things the best possible way, because we're doing it for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and for his representative, Srila Prabhupada. So I want to make a first class offering. And again and again, in my experience with him, he wanted us to do the very best. Whatever we did, do it the best that you can. And one time I approached him when I was doing his secretary service. I would get in a little bit, sometimes a little bit anxiety because I have perfectionism tendencies, and I would feel like, oh, will I please him and will I be able to do the, you know, because he wants it perfect and well done, and will I be able to do it to that standard? And I would get a little bit in anxiety. So one time I asked him, I said, I have this fear that I won't be able to do, you know, to please you and what I do. And he said, very simply, he just gave one simple answer. I said, I'm a perfectionist and I feel like I can't, sometimes I get scared about not doing the best quality. And he said, do the best possible, not the best impossible. So basically saying, you don't have to, like, you know, work, just be who you are and do the best that you can with what you have, but you don't have to, like, go beyond that and over endeavor beyond what you can do. So that was really instructive for me. And there's so many memories. I don't think I have much time. There's not much time. So I'll just share maybe two more memories and then I'll end. So one thing, when I was doing his secretary service, there was a team of us actually doing the service. And some of the services that I would do is he would transcribe the letters to me, and I would, he would tell me the points and I would type it up and then show it to him, and then he would correct it. And then I would, in this way, I would type up the letters. And then there was other services also I did, like producing the magazine for Ujjain and filing and doing the appointments that people who wanted to meet him, and transcribing his lectures. So there's so many things. And it was intense at times, because it was, sometimes there was deadlines and sometimes there was pressure. And sometimes I would stay up late at night trying to finish something that I had to do, and then still wake up early for Mangalarti the next day. And it was very, very intense. But I noticed that every time that Maharaj gave me something to do, that he also gave me the empowerment to do it. So one time he gave me a project to do a report, and he said, he called me on the phone because he was not in Ujjain at that time. And he said, I need you to write up a report about the midday meal project that we're doing. It's very, very, he said, it's very important. Please do this. And when I heard that, I was like, okay. And he gave me a deadline. I think it was, I had a day to do it. And all of a sudden I noticed that by taking that service, by accepting that he gave me this mercy to do this service, and then praying to him for strength, all of a sudden I was empowered to do it. I found myself working at top speed that I don't usually work at. And I was like making phone calls and talking to people and doing this and that. And, you know, that's not my nature usually to be so like that. But I was like, he was empowering me to do beyond what I usually could do. And I was praying intensely to have it ready for him. And then at the last moment, like an hour before I was supposed to submit it, or something like that, like maybe like half an hour before, all of a sudden that document that I had been working on disappeared off my computer, and I couldn't even, it was mysterious. I couldn't find it anymore. It was just nowhere. And I was searching all my documents, and the trash, the junk, everywhere I was searching, and it was gone. It was just absolutely gone. And all of a sudden at this point, I was just at a point of tears, and I just prayed to Srila Prabhupada and Radha Madhavan. And I said, I did this just for, you know, Guru Maharaj, if you so desire, just to help him, please help bring this back. And I noticed that it was sometimes when difficulties come, and it's like Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada and Radha Madan Mohan, the deities, are just trying to intensify our mood of prayer. And suddenly it was there on my computer. All of a sudden I saw it again. It was just a little trick that Krishna did to help me pray intensely and cry and feel that feeling of anxiety for Krishna. And anyway, so that was one example of how Guru Maharaj gives empowerment. With the instruction, he also empowers us to do it. And the last uh, little memories that are just the sweetness. Like my husband was saying, that he conquered our hearts by his sweetness. And basically by his sweetness, we were ready to do anything for him, just because he conquered us because of that sweetness. So even though it was so intense at times, he would just sometimes just melt our hearts with sweetness. Like he would walk into our secretary office and just like make comments like, "Oh, Archana, where's the rest of your gang?" And like that kind of like making jokes and like laughing. Or he would walk in and just look at how we set up the room and ask like, ask me, "So how are you liking the prasadam? Is it good for you? Is it too spicy for you?" And I learned after time that I shouldn't lie with Guru Maharaj. I had an experience like that, to be straightforward with him. So I said, "Yes, Guru Maharaj, sometimes it's a little bit spicy for me." And then he said, "Okay." And then he called. I didn't expect this, but he actually told his cook to cook a every day at lunch special boiled vegetables for me, just for so he's so kind, so kind, just for insignificant little servant. Like, there's just incredible. And then sometimes he would say, just the way he would say, "Thank you so much, Ratnaradhika." And then just, yeah. So I'm sorry to break down here, but I just want to say, yeah, he melted our hearts with his sweetness, and I'm ever grateful for his mercy and his kindness. And thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Ratnaradhika Mataji. It was very heart-touching. We all gonna miss him so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Aditya Narayan Prabhu, for coming on the call and sharing your realizations and memories. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. So next we have Sevananda Chaitanya Prabhu. Prabhuji, are you there?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, you can start, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Chari Swami Iti Namini. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini. Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada and all assembled Vaishnavas. Last few weeks have been very difficult. From the moment we heard about Maharaj hospitalization and we are praying and appealing to Lord Krishna for his recovery so that we can take his association again. But July 4th has been heart-wrenching. When we woke up, there has been numerous messages about Maharaj's critical condition, and we are all chanting profusely and praying to Lord Krishna. But I think Krishna had other plans, and we are still trying to come to terms with this. Even though it is very hard and difficult to understand Lord Krishna's plan, and recently His Holiness Sri Krishna Maharaj was telling that Bhakti Chauru Maharaj is being called by Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna to execute the preaching mission in some part of the universe. It is also being echoed by many others in the last few days, and this is helping us to comprehend Krishna's plan. We have been hearing the glorious homages of many of Maharaj's godbrothers, which is helping us to understand this passing away in the right perspective, and also shows Maharaj's caring approach to everyone. The homage by His Holiness Indradhana Maharaj about Narasimha Mantra was very moving. Also, how Maharaj has touched the hearts and lives of his disciples with his personal touch, his cooking skills, his melodious singing, is helping us understand how focused Maharaj is in expanding ISKCON and bringing so many souls to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. There are no words that provide solace when facing separation from such a glorious Vaishnava. But we can take some comfort in the fact that His Holiness Bhaktichar Maharaj lived constantly in the meditation on how to serve Srila Prabhupada and his mission. Undoubtedly, he now continues that service under the direction of His Divine Grace, as mentioned by many of His God brothers recently. It is all of us here missing His association, and it will take weeks and months to soothe our hearts. And the only way that can be done is to meditate on His key qualities, instructions, and His exemplary Vaishnava etiquettes, which we got a glimpse during His visit to Charlotte last year. Maharaj came 2 times to Charlotte last year despite His busy schedule. We are fortunate to have Maharaj's personal association during those visits. During His November visit, He gave a 3-day seminar on Ramayana, which was nectarian. Maharaj was so kind and loving with everyone during the visit we saw, and taking care of everyone very personally. I had the fortune of serving breakfast prasadam to Maharaj during His visit to Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu's house. And I was serving dosa to him, and he lovingly told that we should not use our hands to serve, and I got a glimpse of his superior Vaishnava etiquette. After that, he gave a small class on how we should work in a cooperative manner, and this shows how he helps us imbibe the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. The best way to please His Holiness Bhaktichar Maharaj and Prabhupada is to continue to serve cooperatively and expand the preaching mission of His Khan. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sevanan Chaitanya Prabhu. Oh, it was so heart-touching when Maharaj came to Charlotte. You are definitely going to miss him. So, next we have Sudarananda Prabhuji. Are you there? Hare Krishna. Sudarananda Prabhu, are you there?
I don't see Prabhuji here, Mataji.
Revati Mataji?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Dhanavat Pranams Mataji. I'm there on the call, Mataji. Can I go?
Yes, Mataji. Yeah, you can go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Dhanavat Pranams, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I really don't have any qualification to talk about in this big forum, but still I just want to try a little attempt to glorify His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj. I mean, like, whenever you see him, we the very first time when we got the opportunity to meet him back in 2015. I mean, like, he is such a pure soul. Like, when you hear him, right, like, you feel like whatever he has been telling to you, like, you really feel like moving with him. Like, just please chant, please be in cooperating, working with all the temple or whatever it is, practicing on Vaishnava etiquettes, and continuously serve the movement, etc. And when we met him first time back in 2015, like, the devotees were asking the question, like, how did you come to ISKCON and all these, like, and the answer what he had given was, like, very moving. Like, when Prabhupada was asking him, like, you have crossed, like, so many millions of lifetimes. Now in this lifetime, you come to know about Krishna. Why don't you give this life to Krishna? Then just see, there is no loss. You just give this lifetime to Krishna and just see, like, what, how he takes care of you. I really, really loved that. And we have been really fortunate to have him at our home blessing us. And I really got this, my kid got this Gaurnithai deities from Maharaja's hands when he was visiting us during the Rathayatra in one of the Panihati festival. It's been like really very hard to hear this news, and the last 2 weeks has been like very hard actually. So I don't know like what to say, but thank you so much, Mataji. And we really had like very good fortune to serve him in the cooking and all these things. And it's been like really great experience. And Maharaj used to come and check like each and everything, like how did you do it? Though he has been a great cook, and it is his humility and humbleness, like he will just come and check with us, like how did you make this? How did you make this? Like, it's like really out of the world experience. He will be definitely really, really missed. Like what other devotees have said, like Krishna has his own plans. He will be definitely missed. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Next, we have Sundarananda Prabhuji. Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity for sharing, Mataji. Yeah. Vanchakarpa Sarvesha Kupasandhu Bevcha Pajjanam Pavanabhi Vaishnava Namanama. I did not have so much personal association with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj myself. But when he visited ISKCON of DC, I had the opportunity to hear to his class and see his demeanor. Just by that one interaction, I can make out, I was very impressed seeing his very, very personal nature, and very kind, and very pleasing to see him, very pleasing to interact, pleasing to see him interact with anyone. So he was very sweet. That was what my impression from seeing him, Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktisar Maharaj, in that interaction. So that definitely shows he's very relatable and very approachable, and how caring he is to the devotees. And as we hear so many devotees sharing also, so it's very evident how he touched so many people's hearts just by meeting them once even. And yeah, so I thought I'll share some things from what I heard from His Holiness Vaisheshika Prabhu sharing, and also His Holiness Rompasa Maharaj sharing. Since I did not have so many interactions with him, what touched me from their sharings. So that's what I'm going to do in a short time. So one is that from Vaisheshika Prabhu, Prabhu was highlighting many things, but given the short time, I'll pick two things at least. One is that Vaisheshika Prabhu was describing how we know from Nectar of Instruction, we hear Uttamadhikari or Mahabhagavata devotee. One of the symptoms is they do not fault find, they're not criticizing. So the opposite of that quality is appreciation and encouraging of devotees. So Bhaktisar Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktisar Maharaj, exemplified this quality of encouraging everyone he meets. So in their services to Krishna, everyone to make their next step towards Krishna, everyone. So he was encouraging them in whatever way, like even it was evident in some of the sharings even today also on this call. So he was encouraging everyone in whatever service they are doing. Because of his strong faith in Krishna, strong faith in Srila Prabhupada, strong commitment to Srila Prabhupada, full shelter in Srila Prabhupada. So he always encouraged everyone to follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings, continue the process of bhakti, stay in ISKCON, focus on devotional practices. Like that, he was encouraging everyone. That is one quality he was describing. Another quality, Vaisheshika Prabhu was also quoting Madhvacharya, who indicated there are two primary symptoms of a topmost devotee. So those two of the symptoms he was describing are steadiness in the service And then the second thing is speech that is encouraging to everyone. So in the steadiness and service, Vaishnavi Prabhu was describing, which I also am also aware of. So we all know that Bhaktivinoda Maharaj has so much intimate association with Srila Prabhupada in last few months of Prabhupada living also. And then he gave a very voluminous service to Maharaj, that is translating all Srila Prabhupada books to Bengali. Anyone who might have heard about writing a book or translating one book, they might appreciate how much voluminous that service is, translating so many books. And that requires not only scriptural knowledge, dedication, commitment, but steadiness in the service. So I heard from another devotee how Maharaj used to live, Maharaj used to get up like around midnight and then starts to do translation work in Mayapur. I think it must be His Holiness Radhana Swami was sharing maybe that time. So that steadiness in service is a sincere quality and wonderful quality of Maharaj that we can all learn from. I can learn from. And then this steadiness in service shows up in many ways. For example, he, like one of the devotees was also mentioning the Ujjain project, how it came up in such a short time. And then Maharaj was already always particular to the quality of the work also done, not only the work itself getting done, but the quality of the work being done as an offering to Srila Prabhupada, like that. That's another example. Another example of the same steadiness of service is the Abhay Charan movie that he created, which required lots of coordination. I know very little about movie creation, but my understanding is not a simple endeavor at all. It involves many people and many things to make things happen. So he moved lots of devotees. Vaishnavi Prabhu was also sharing that it requires going with this team across the world in different places and taking devotees to participate, encouraging devotees to participate in the movie also. And then that's a wonderful offering to Srila Prabhupada that we all have. My children used to see that many times. Yeah, it's such a wonderful offering, Abhay Charan. So these are some examples of his steadiness in service. And the other exemplary quality of a Vaishnava that Maharaj exhibited is the sweet speech, what Madhvacharya is explaining also. That sweet speech, like we hear in Bhagavad Gita also, Maharaj exemplified this character of speaking what is beneficial for others, what is encouraging to others in their service and their relationship with Krishna. So that's a nice quality that Maharaj exemplified. And other devotees were sharing also, like his Vaishnava culture was topmost. Even his only Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj was also sharing that how his culture is so exemplary. And Maharaj even taught, made the course for Vaishnava etiquette and taught it in VIHE, I understand. And that's also very well received. Jayadvaita Maharaj was sharing about that point. So these are some of the sharings from Vaishnavi Prabhu, and then some sharings from His Holiness Rompa Swami Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj also. So I really appreciate Bhaktivinoda Maharaj for his knowledge in scriptures, like Aditya Narayan Prabhu also described, I think, knowledge of scriptures, and not only having the knowledge of wide range of scriptures, but how to apply them practically in the life. In a proper perspective. That was his strength, one of the strengths. So Rompa Swami Maharaj was sharing a couple of examples of that. So Maharaj was, as we know, Maharaj was a GBC, and Maharaj was a Bhaktivinoda Maharaj was also a GBC chairman. So in that capacity, when he's participating in GBC, there are many issues that come up that require scriptural knowledge and application of the knowledge also. So these two examples he was sharing. One of them was, somewhere in Australia, there is a situation with a DT where they were there's some damage happened to the one of the fingers of the DT, I believe. So there were discussions, arguments on both sides, active, lively discussion on both sides, whether to repair it somehow or replace the DT with another DT. Because it happened multiple times, it seems, after the repair also. So then when they come to GBC, discussion was going on and on and on. But His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Maharaj came to the rescue through his scriptural knowledge from Haribhakti Vilas. So he quoted something from Haribhakti Vilas to essentially resolve the issue. In very brief summary, essentially, depending upon the mood of the devotees who are worshipping, whether they're worshipping in a regulative way or whether they're worshipping in the mood that this is Krishna himself, like that. So they could do either of those options, that is repairing or replacing also. Both are approved. So then they gave the solution to the local community for them to see what is their mood and what would they like to do. That resolved issue like that. So in a similar way, there was a issue the GBC was discussing, it seems, that regarding the location where the TOB, now the great TOB temple being built. So there was some, I don't know the full details of that myself, but this is what I heard. Essentially, during that discussion, His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj was so knowledgeable in scriptures and had so much memory to recall what is relevant for that particular circumstance that he started discussing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace and Srivaswanga Angan, how much distance they are, and this place is how much distance from here, like that, in that context, to help during that discussion. That was also amazing to hear, and that his knowledge of scriptures and specifically application of that in a devotee's life, which is essential in advancing in spiritual life, and also essential for a speech master who has so many disciples like this, like that. That was one of the appreciation I had. And another appreciation that His Holiness Rompa Samaraj was sharing, which I heard from so many devotees, not just one devotee, that his mood of service was so wonderful. That means he's always seeing how can I serve Vaishnavas, how can I serve Srila Prabhupada, like that. There is a mood of compassion and caring and kindness he had. Some of the examples Rompa Samaraj was quoting specifically, I'll describe briefly because of the time. So some of the examples he was sharing was that during the GVC meetings in Mayapur, so when there's a lunch time, Maharaj used to go from table to table where devotees are there, and he used to inquire what would they like to have, and also he used to meet them with his nice natural social grace and hug some devotees. In this way, he had wonderful loving exchanges with devotees. And in fact, he used to prepare menus for festivals, it seems, for preparing a wonderful feast for devotees' pleasure. And then he also used to host in Mayapur in his own quarters, it seems, the senior sannyasis and GBCs, and serve them personally, like 15 to 20 sannyasis, by giving them nice prasadam and spending time with them. That's another example of his mode of service that Maharaj was recalling. And then, so basically, I wanted a couple of lessons I took from hearing all these memories were how this mode of service is very essential. When we meditate on the qualities of Vaishnavas like this, we can also imbibe some of it by their mercy. We can pray to them, and by their mercy, we can imbibe some of their qualities. So we can pray to His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj, if you so desire, that to please give us the mood of service that you have towards Srila Prabhupada, towards ISKCON, and towards Vaishnavas and all the living entities in general, and also the compassion that he has. Like that, we can pray to him and meditate on his qualities. So we can also imbibe that qualities. And then also, we can also do our part, whatever little we can do. Maharaj always encouraged to doing wherever we are, whatever situation we are, to serve. In whatever little capacity we have to serve ISKCON and serve Prabhupada, so that someone will be encouraged to make the next step in devotion service. Yeah, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing. It was really nice to learn a lot more from Maharaj. So, thank you so much. So next we have His Grace Ajay Govind Prabhuji.
Can Prabhuji,
yes, Mataji. Yes, Mataji, just give me a minute.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charu Swami Tinamine. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Snigdha Cheta Subhineta Vapenam Sarasa Pratam Prabhu Pade Gatipanam Nomi Bhakti Charu Padam. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone, you know, for glorifying Guru Maharaj here. And I got a personal association with Guru Maharaj, but whatever I came to know about Guru Maharaj, you know, from my personal association, I think I have learned more qualities and known more about Guru Maharaj by glorification of all his god brothers and god sisters and all the other Vaishnavas, because my association was very limited, but through association of all of you, I think I'm cherishing much more association now after he is physically not here. Although his physical association, which he was when he was here, cannot be fulfilled and that vacuum will always be there. However, you know, this is very solacing to hear about that, you know, so many people are influenced by Guru Maharaj and his reflection is all over now present. I can say that, you know, Guru Maharaj was really a compassionate and a merciful devotee. And the reason I say for that is that, you know, my being into Krishna consciousness is because of Guru Maharaj. He accepted me as a disciple, rather me saying that, you know, I have accepted a guru. Because I never approached Guru Maharaj for initiation or ever approached for him to take shelter. And, you know, he called me himself when my wife was talking to Guru Maharaj for initiation. And he said that, you know, you both have to go together because you have two wheels of the same cart and cannot go separate. So if one wheel is going faster and another one is going slower, the cart will not move. So one has to slow down and the other has to cope up and, you know, you have to go together. And I was not chanting much at that time. I was just chanting one round and Guru Maharaj asked me and I told him a couple of reasons because of my all involvement in my job and everything. And he said, no, try to do that. And I started chanting and then he gave me initiation. And soon after, Guru Maharaj called one day and said that, you know, I'm going to give you a second initiation also. Although we were not ready in that time, but he said that, you know, it's my responsibility to make sure what you are progressing. And I know that, so you can leave that decision up to me. I have, you know, interacted with Guru Maharaj on various occasions where I got an opportunity to personally serve Guru Maharaj. Even though I was not initiated as his disciple, he still allowed me to serve, to give him personal service of feeding prasadam and, you know, other seva. And what I have learned from Guru Maharaj, what I have understood from him, that he is a Prabhupada man. He reflects everything what Prabhupada had. So if somebody wants to know about Prabhupada and they could not see and would have seen Bhakti Charu Maharaj, then they could understand that, you know, how Prabhupada would have been with his disciples. He was very caring. He always thinks about Prabhupada. I was giving this, you know, instance. I was sharing this that, you know, a couple of occasions when Guru Maharaj is there in either retreats or in any class, you know, nobody will probably notice, you know, how and what kind of garland is being given to Guru Maharaj or what kind of garland is given to Prabhupada. Most of the time people just come, they put a garland to you know, the Guru. But Guru Maharaj always notices it. And whenever you will put a garland, he will first see whether Prabhupada has a garland or not. If Prabhupada has a garland, whether that is a simple garland or a proper opulent garland. And if that garland is not opulent and his garland is opulent, he will not accept it. He will offer that garland to Guru Prabhupada and either take the maha from Prabhupada or he give both the garland to Prabhupada. He will never accept a garland which is more opulent than Prabhupada. And I have noticed that, you know, a couple of occasions, he's always considerate about his godbrothers. If there are his godbrothers in an assembly and you will put a garland to Guru Maharaj and not to his godbrothers, then Guru Maharaj would not accept that. He would not like it, because he's always instructed that if you want to serve me, you can serve me by serving my godbrothers and godsisters. So he always gives the equal position to each and every godbrother and godsister or any other, you know, senior Vaishnava. I have seen him giving more love and care to the disciples, and much more than, you know, to the disciple of other Maharajas or even people who are not disciples. That reflection is always there. He will always, you know, take care of all the devotees. Whenever you visit him to see Guru Maharaj in retreat or, you know, in D-Land when we went there, he would run behind here and there to make sure that everybody is very comfortable. One time we remember that, you know, there was no program and the center was open. So we all, a couple of families here from North Carolina, decided to visit Guru Maharaj. And when we were there, Guru Maharaj was so happy to see us that, you know, he immediately asked the devotees there to put prasadam. And he was personally, you know, running behind from kitchen to bring the prasadam to everyone and asking everyone that, you know, how do you like the prasadam? And he did not allow anybody to do any service that time. He said that you are here for vacation and I want you all to take full rest and enjoy. So all the devotees there were cooking prasadam for us, and you know, he was just taking care of us as if like we are the Maharaj and he's our disciple. So he was so caring, and always, you know, he has emphasized the importance of Srila Prabhupada's movement, Srila Prabhupada's GBC, Srila Prabhupada himself, book written Ocean of Mercy, although it talks about Guru Maharaj's life, but it actually reflects, you know, about Prabhupada, his experiences with Prabhupada. I was hearing Radhanath Maharaj's talk yesterday where he was emphasizing and saying that, you know, Prabhupada has put all his spirit in Bhaktichara Maharaj. And that's why, you know, he is able to conduct and, you know, carry Srila Prabhupada's thoughts and his mission so well. Other, you know, experiences and learning with Guru Maharaj is that, you know, he's always on time. He's very particular about time, doesn't want to waste a single minute. Whenever the classes will start, he will always be on time. Never ever I have seen Guru Maharaj getting late for any class, be it on a conference call, be it in the retreats. If the class starts at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock, then the class starts at 1 o'clock. You know, he will ask devotees to be there. And oftentimes Guru Maharaj has even chastised the devotees for not coming on the time. But then he was always utilizing the time very effectively and efficiently for Srila Prabhupada's mission. He will never ever be late. Everybody has, you know, known that he is the emblem of Vaishnava etiquettes, love and care, cooperation, trust in the movement in Srila Prabhupada and GBC. That so much so that even at the life, when his life was at stake, he requested GBC to take the decision rather than him taking any decision for his own personal health. I don't think that anybody will do that, you know, because, but then he had Prabhupada and his mission on the topmost priority. On many other instances of my physical association with Guru Maharaj has given a learning, you know, how to be compassionate with others. He will always listen to others and then, you know, provide them a solution. And I have never ever seen him, you know, getting angry on anyone. Even if some things are not correct, he will very politely, you know, and mention that this is what one should do, this is what one should not do. Many occasions I've seen Guru Maharaj visiting the homes of devotees, and, you know, we offer prasadam to Guru Maharaj for lunch, for dinner, and he will very happily accept it and, you know, ask each and everyone who has cooked what, and then he will give a feedback. He will tell how he liked the prasadam, what did he like more, and what could have been others which could have been, you know, done improvement. And never ever he will disappoint anybody. So, you know, devotees will cook prasadam no matter how much they have cooked, you know, but he will taste everything. One time we remember that Guru Maharaj was here and we had cooked about, I think, more than 50 preparations. And he tasted everything, but he said that, you know, I ate so much that some things which I liked, I did not get a second chance to relish this because I had to taste everything. So he asked Kirtida that, you know, next time, don't cook so much so that I can at least eat more or some things which you are cooking. But anyways, you know, he still relishes all the prasadam for everyone who has cooked. He will never ever say no to anybody that, you know, I will not eat this. He will even take a little bit, but he will cherish it. No matter whether it is spicy, whether it is not spicy, he has never ever, you know, disappointed anyone. And I've seen that, you know, whenever Guru Maharaj has visited every devotee's home, he will always do that. Whenever I will be going to his room and he has to come out for prasadam or, you know, has to walk in the morning, it would never be there that I would have to knock the door and ask Guru Maharaj that, you know, you said Guru Maharaj at 7 o'clock or, you know, you asked at 1 o'clock, you'll come out. By the time you reach the door will open and Guru Maharaj will come out. So he was so particular about the time that he would, you know, I will say that if you want to match your clock with the seconds, you can see his activities and match rather than, you know, matching him with the clock. That was his accuracy on time and precision on time. So many, many learnings from Guru Maharaj. Always he gives the instruction to be a very nice devotee, which means a simple statement, but being a devotee itself is very tough. You know, what to talk about a nice devotee. His instructions were always to read Srila Prabhupada's book, be in the association of devotees, be cooperative, and never ever have conflicts with anyone. So, with all your prayers and blessings, I will seek your guidance so that, you know, me and my wife both can imbibe this instruction of Guru Maharaj. And wherever you feel that there is a scope of improvement, please let us know. If you are doing things wrong, please chastise us. The shelter of the devotees is the only solace we have now. And, you know, Guru Maharaj's instruction. So kindly, please bestow your mercy on us. And thank you very much for allowing me to speak and glorify about Guru Maharaj. Although I am a very insignificant servant and do not have any qualification to glorify him. But with his glorification, I feel that, you know, I am purifying myself. So thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. That was very heart touching, and yeah, it's like we are gonna miss him so much. But thank you. You all are there, his disciple, and we are very fortunate to have all of your association. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Kirtida Sundari Mataji, would you like to speak?
Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji, for this wonderful session that you organized. So I have, you know, spoken a lot about Guru Maharaj and his association. And but here, you know, at this point of time, before we end up this session, I would really like to thank each and every one of you, because, you know, without all your wonderful association, I would have, you know, never ever come out of this, you know, this lifelong loss that, you know, we all are suffering, especially the disciples and the well-wishers. I would have personally not able to come out of this. And I really appreciate each and every one of you who really helped, because you all were chanting. You were, you know, you took up this as the mission that we all were fighting with Krishna. You all were chanting for so many hours and hours, even though, you know, I was not able to join sometime, but you were so particular about everything that you were chanting, especially, you know, dedicating it to Guru Maharaj, and you all were there with me when, you know, when I needed support the most. And thank you for such an overwhelming loving messages that I received personally. So I'm really indebted to each and every one of you in this Bhakti Sangha. I don't know in which lifetime I'll be able to repay this debt. But thank you so much, and thank you for coming forward for chanting Narsingha mantras. So many of you even volunteer to chant Narsingha mantras with me just for Guru Maharaj. We tried our best, we prayed a lot, but again, you know, it was Krishna's desire. It was Krishna's desire that, you know, maybe our prayers were not heard in the way we wanted, but definitely something is really going to unfold. Some miracles will be going to unfold which we are not aware of. So I'm really, you know, so happy to be the part of this Bhakti Sangha group. And I'm really, really, really indebted. This virtual temple means a lot to me, much more than, you know, the actual real temple. Every day having Srimad Bhagavatam classes, Chaitanya Charitamrita classes, Brihad Bhagavatamrita classes, and kids sessions. So much you all are doing. So I'm really, really grateful to each and every one of you. Thank you for having me as a part of it. And thank you for you all being a part of my life. Thank you so much, Shyama Gauri Mataji. I really appreciate all your, grateful to all of your help. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. And yeah, we are like a family, and this is really a virtual temple for us. And we are all together. We will pray to Krishna. We don't know what Krishna's plans are, so let's take it as a mercy and we move forward. Thank you so much, Mataji, being part of Bhakti Sangha. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasni Mataji. Thank you so much, Anjana Gopika Mataji, Vinita Gandharvika Mataji, Sita Preeti Mataji, Vrinda Mataji. List is endless, endless list, you know. But thank you all, because I have seen, you know, you all was always there in that chanting sessions, and you also heartfully prayed for Guru Maharaj. So thank you so much, each and every one of you. I'm really feeling short of words now that, you know, yes, Guru Maharaj has gone, but now my debt is towards all of you. And I'm really indebted now.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah. Vamshidhari Gopal Prabhu, would you like to speak? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Would you like to share your memories and realizations, Prabhuji?
Yeah, thank you, Mataji, for giving this opportunity. Yeah, definitely I would like to share a few of my memories with Guru Maharaj. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charu Swami Tinamine Snigdha Cheta Supranita Vagbhigam Charasaplutam Prabhupada Gata Prananaumi Bhakti Charu. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharina Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Prabhu. So, yeah, as we all know, like my association with Guru Maharaj started in June 2018 when I met with him first time in New York Rath Yatra. And from that meeting itself, like that was my first meeting with any ISKCON sannyasi and any ISKCON guru. And in that very first meeting itself, like I was certain that I don't have to look any further. And from that point onward, like it just keep on growing and growing, like his association multiple times, I was fortunate to get. And I was fortunate to attend 3 of his retreats in 1.5 years of time, which I had with him. And each of those retreats were so wonderful. And the most important thing is that each and every moment with Guru Maharaj is something to learn. Each and every gesture, each and every talk, each and every session, whatever he is taking or whatever he is doing, if you observe, there is something to learn from that. Like few of the instances I remember, which I would like to share, that how it impacted me and how I got to learn from him. Like everybody shared his love for his god brothers and god sisters. and how much respectful and how much caring he was for them. So in one of the retreat in D-Land, His Grace Shesha Prabhu came, and Maharaj was in the middle of the session at that time. And he got up, he welcomed Shesha Prabhu, and after exchanging few greetings with each other, he offered him to take the session. He said that you speak. And then Shesha Prabhu said, no, no, Maharaj, you are already taking seminar. You are in the middle of the session. You continue. So then they finally settled that, okay, Shesha Prabhu will give the Bhagavatam class next day morning, and Guru Maharaj will not take that. Instead, Shesha Prabhu will take that. And after that, then at that time, like, there was, we were not expecting probably him, so there was no seat or no proper chair there at that time for him to sit next to Guru Maharaj. So then he insisted that Shesha Prabhu shared the Vyasasana with him. So as Guru Maharaj was giving the session, he made sure that he shared the Vyasasana with Shesha Prabhu, and they both sit together in that small Vyasasana. And Guru Maharaj gave rest of the session there. So these are the exchanges which, you know, directly touch your heart and which makes permanent impression, which someone cannot forget for rest of their life. And that shows like how we should, you know, take and how we should respect the Vaishnavas, how we should respect the devotees, how we should deal with them. In another instances, I was fortunate to be with him for 10 days in Orlando. I was staying with him and got an opportunity to serve him. And I was so nervous because I didn't know much about the service. I didn't know much about him personally. But it was such a great honor that he accepted my request. And again, it shows that he never ever refused anybody for any service. And he went up to extent and saying that if you are ready to serve, my doors are always open for you. No matter what you are, where you are, how, what you want to serve, how you want to serve. If you are ready to serve, then all the projects, like whether it's D-Land, ISKCON Ujjain or any other Mayapur, he says that their doors are open everywhere. You just come and we'll take care of you. And when I went to Orlando, I realized that because the moment I entered there, it was like I didn't come to serve. He's serving me. It was so embracing so many times. Like instead of we are taking care of him or I'm observing that what he needs, he was more watchful of what I need. Like I was kind of working. That time, like I could work from home, I had a flexible hours, so I didn't took off from the work completely. So he was so careful about that, okay, I hope I'm not disturbing your work. I hope you don't have any meetings. And I said, Guru Maharaj, don't worry about all that. I'm all yours. You just tell me what I can do. And then he was taking care of such a small things like, what room I should take. And then he asked devotees to set up my room, make sure that it's very nice. I have everything. One day, like we observed that the AC of one side of the room was not working properly. So we were okay. Like his side was AC was working, but the other side of AC was not working. So he just noticed it. When he came out in the living room, that something is wrong. It's too hot here. And then he immediately called the maintenance and he immediately make sure that the repair is done on the same day. And at the end, what we found is that it was nothing but just on the switchboard, that circuit was drip. So the repairman came and he just put it on and then it was all working. But he made sure that that servicemen come with that very same day. So much care he takes on small things. Then there, when he was leaving for India, he called all the devotees from Deland Ashram and he said that I will prepare the meal for everybody. Since I'm going tomorrow, I cannot go to ashram. So let everybody come here. And then he prepared meal for everybody and very lovingly he served and then we all took it together. And then after that, we had a wonderful, wonderful bhajan and class. Last year, when he went to Ujjain, he had a Hindi Gita seminar for 2 days. So it was like devotees could come, they stay overnight and then had 2 day session, like 2 session on Saturday and 2 sessions on Sunday. So I asked my parents to go there and attend that seminar. And after the seminar, then my father met with him and then he said that he's my father and all. And then he so lovingly he met him and he called him to his room. He met with him, he talked with him, he inquired where you are staying. And then my father told where he is. And then he immediately called a devotee and said that no, he moved them to some different room. And though there was no problem because that guest house is so wonderful, everything is so perfect there. There is no problem at all. But still he said that no, move them to that another better room immediately. And then after that, as soon as that meeting ended, he called me. And just for 5 minutes of meeting with my father, he even glorified him. He called me and he said that your father is very pious. He's a very nice man. I was very happy to meet with him. So like that, like Guru Maharaj, I don't have any words to explain. All I can say is that I was very fortunate, at the same time unfortunate, but I'm not counting the flip side of it. I'm just counting my blessings that in a very short association of 1.5 years, he has given me so much that I can cherish it for the rest of my life. And everything is for purpose. And he keeps saying again and again that nothing is coincident in this world. There is nothing like accident in this world. Everything is Krishna's arrangement. Everything is perfectly planned by him. So again, his passing is also not an accident. It is not a coincidence. It was Krishna's perfect arrangement. And personally for me, I can realize that since last 4 weeks or so, and even before that, during the lockdown period, he was giving 2 to 3 classes every day. And I have been hearing him almost every day since the lockdown started. And I became so much close towards him. And so much virtual association which I got during this period, that it's like I'm living with him all the time. So I'm sure and I bless, I beg Guru Maharaj that he keep continuing, inspiring me, keep continuing his association with me like this for rest of my life. And I pray and request all of you to please keep me under your shelter because I am very immature. I don't know anything yet. This is just a start for me. And I would need constant hand-holding and constant support from all of you to move forward. So please continue to keep me in your prayers. Please continue to guide me. Please continue to hand-hold me. And continue to keep me engaged in service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for sharing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Kumari Mataji, would you like to share? Hare Krishna Mataji, are you there? Yeah. Anyone else on the call, if they want to share, they can go ahead. Because it's almost 8:45. Oh, 8:48. Okay.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, I'll quickly share 2-3 things, Mataji. 2 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Mataji. So, one thing for me, what I learned from Guru Maharaj was, in a simple and clear way, and make me understand about Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu is a Channa avatar, we know that. It's very difficult to understand Mahaprabhu's Leela, Sankirtan Leela, why he came. But from Mahaprabhu Maharaj's lectures, I could clearly understand. And that's one thing revealing from me, from what I got from Maharaj. And one other aspect is, which I'm meditating, how Srila Prabhupada served his Guru Maharaj. If you see Leelamrita, Prabhupada was always constantly thinking, serving his Guru Maharaj. And the rest of his life he spent. And same thing we see, how His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj has spent serving his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. So I'm praying to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj to give me some strength so that, you know, I also can serve Maharaj in the same attitude that the Parampara was serving, like Srila Prabhupada serving his spiritual master, Guru Maharaj serving his spiritual master, me can serve, you know. So that's one thing I see from Guru Maharaj, you know, very, very alert. All is like from 77, 76, 77, almost 43, 44 years serving in many, many different projects in a very loving, loving way. And one other small aspect is, you know, I thank Vamshidhari Prabhu and for his team when they arranged for a retreat in Charlotte. I didn't really do much, but I was passively active. I didn't do much, but they gave me a service of to drive Maharaj from the retreat center to Umesh Prabhu's house. So that was the great blessing. And I could spend quite a few time with Maharaj, driving him and being in the house where Maharaj was staying. And I really felt a void after Maharaj left. Like after 3 or 4 days he was there. You know, it was really, really, really something, you know. A body part was missing. Something like that I felt, because of constant association with Maharaj and Bhakti Prem Maharaj, driving them, talking to them, you know. And one thing I would like to mention, other thing, Mataji, one minute. I asked Guru Maharaj one question. I would ask always 2 questions. One question is, Maharaj, we say Nityananda Prabhu is very merciful. Maharaj, we say Narasimha Dev is very merciful. Maharaj, we say Jagannath is very merciful. Who is actually merciful? What does it mean, you know? So I asked Maharaj, I want us like a specific answer. What does it mean? How it is different, right? Like, I don't want to hear the same word, merciful. Like that, I asked Maharaj, you know, for 20 minutes or so when I was driving Maharaj in D-Land. Maharaj explained very nicely. And last he said, Sureshwar Sham, it is again our personal affection with the Lord. Whichever Lord you pray, it's our personal affection for that Lord. Because, you know, we say Nityananda Prabhu, Prabhuji, from Nityananda Prabhu is very, very, very merciful, right? Then Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, he says same thing, right? So he then ended with saying, you know, it's our affection to whichever Lord we feel. That's why everybody is merciful. Again, it depends on our affection to that individual manifestation of the same Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you very much. It was overwhelming. And one thing I learned is how the entire community is coming together even after Maharaj leaving this physical world. It is more inspiring now, you know, because so much we hear about Maharaj's qualities. And now I'm meditating how, you know, how I can serve Maharaj in his much cherished D-Land project. Right, at least that way, you know, he has left something for us to finish. So that's what I'm meditating. And I'm thinking how I can serve Guru Maharaj in the last project that he risked his life for. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you very much. Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing. Hare Krishna, Krishna Kumari Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, we can hear you, Mataji.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, all the devotees. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschata Desatari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadata Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. This is, I cannot say much. I am not like a speaker, good speaker, but I can say few words, memory of Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj, because I was like, we were in a Charlotte that time. Maharaj was here in Durham, like near Hillsborough Temple, and they have project and so many Bengali devotees over here also. And we visited so many times Hillsborough Temple, and we visited Maharaj also. And so many times I see him, like his loving, caring nature. That time, like not much association, but then when they moved to Charlotte a couple years back, and that time we had program like a couple of times in our house. And that time, like 2002, around like that, after he came from Mayapur, like Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was passed away. And recently he came from India. And that time we had a program. So I can see like whole lecture he was giving about Tamal Krishna Maharaj glorification. And I can see like how lovingly he was like loving of his god brothers and caring about ISKCON. He was like thinking his right hand is not there. And that time I see like how he was so much loving for ISKCON, Prabhupada, and all these things. And every time when I attend some of our initiations ceremony, he always tell that never leave ISKCON. And like recently, like 2-3 years back, my mother passed away in Orlando. That time Maharaj was there in D-Land. So he just find out that my mother is like in her last moments. So in his busy schedule, he take out the time and he call my sister, Shraddhanjali, and talk, and he advised that what to do in the last moments. So he had so much caring, loving nature, and he took out the time for us. And then after a couple of days, he called again. And he said, I like to come and see you all. So my sister said, yeah, Maharaj, you can come. And then my sister tell that tomorrow we have ceremony for my mother. And I invited a couple of Vaishnavas to our house. So if you can have a time, you can come tomorrow too. So then Maharaj told that I will come tomorrow. So he has taken out the time and he had given the class and he came for that. So how loving he is, he was, and how caring for devotees. If it is their disciple or not disciple, but he had so sweet, loving nature. So I was like, when I heard the news, I was not that, like when my mother passed away, I was not that sad or sorrow or anything. But when Maharaj, it happened, I cannot forget about it. But I hear the lectures, all Maharajis and all Acharyas and everybody's, like after he passed away, they say that is Krishna's mercy and he went with Prabhupada. So I am just like thinking about that, and I am like some of them like little bit whatever Maharaj has, I want to, in my, I can grow like that. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you for inviting me and giving me some couple of minutes. Hare Krishna.
Much for speaking. Yeah. We all are gonna miss him, Mataji, so much. So, anybody else would like to speak something, or should we end? Hare Krishna. Yeah. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Vancha kalpaturubhyasya kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanam vishnu ananta koti vaishnava vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj ki jai.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much, Shyama Gauri Mataji, for arranging this call. Thank you. Hare Krishna.